It's good to be with you today. Good to worship with you. The sermon title is Go and Tell, Come and See. Go and Tell, Come and See. Today, Woodland Baptist Church is gathered and living for Jesus Christ in New York City, the Bronx in particular. Today, Woodland Baptist Church is gathered and living for Jesus Christ in Colleen Village, Virginia, and the surrounding area. You know that. Woodland Baptist Church lives for Jesus wherever you happen to be. This morning, that just happens to be in New York, in Colleen Village, and other places where people who are a part of this congregation may be on vacation or not on vacation, maybe ill at home or ill in the hospital, or for whatever reason, wherever you are, the Church of Jesus Christ is present. Given that, I'm going to read two texts today. One is, unlike what the bulletin says, I changed my mind on the one text rather than the Isaiah 6 passage. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It's a go and tell verse. The other text I'm going to be reading from is John chapter 1, verses 29 through 49. And that is a come and see text in the Bible. Go and tell, come and see. Those are two mandates that Jesus Christ gives us all. Now you could say, David, the order, go and tell, come and see, does it make any difference? It does not. It just so happens that I'm going to be reading that verse from Acts chapter 1. I will begin there and then move on to more fully deal with the text from John chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Go and tell. Go and tell. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. According to what we read in the book of Acts, these were the very last words Jesus spoke to his followers before he ascended into heaven. Pretty important words, don't you think? If they were the very last words Jesus spoke to his followers, important. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You can see the ripple effect there. Start where you are and move out. Start in Jerusalem, and then as you're led by God's Spirit, which had not yet ascended on the church yet, move out and share the love of Jesus Christ. This week, a part of this fellowship is engaged in the call to go and tell. Go and tell. I am sure, absolutely sure, that next week as you gather for worship in this place, this congregation will be celebrating that go and tell experience. You'll see more pictures and videos and hear more stories. Not everything, but you will be inspired by what has been made possible through your giving, through your praying, and through the willingness of some of you to travel to New York. Please note, you're just as important in this process as any mission team. All I'm saying is that on this day, you will gather next week to celebrate what Woodland Baptist Church has been able to do in New York City for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's something to smile about. And you know what? Margie and I aren't regular attenders here, but if at all possible, you better celebrate next Sunday. And I would like to come and be a part of that celebration. I would like to hear those stories and see those pictures. Because wherever Christ is shared, that's something to be heard and to be inspired by. So, go and tell. Go and tell. I want to move on now to the second text from John chapter 1. And I'll be reading through the text and sharing some thoughts. John chapter 1, if Acts 1 speaks to go and tell, John chapter 1 speaks to come and see. Come and see. Now, Acts chapter 1 deals with the time that Jesus began the process of calling his very first disciples. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a very specific way they went about, the more familiar way. When someone asks, how did Jesus go about the process of beginning to call his first disciples? You know what I would say? Well, he went along the Sea of Galilee, and there were fishermen there, Peter and Andrew, James and John. And Jesus said, drop your nets and come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. That story is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is a wonderful story. John tells the story in just a little different way. That does not diminish the story. It enriches the story of how Jesus went about calling his very first disciples. So what I'm going to do is just begin to read a few verses at a time, make a comment, and seek by the Spirit to make application to who we are as people of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, I'll begin by reading verses 29 through 34. And if I happen to cock my head funny or remove my glasses, my eyes don't focus as well as they used to. So Margie noted that to me one time. She said, David, were you okay up there? I said, I was just trying to read what was in front of me. So I'll do my best. I think I need one of those large print Bibles. I'll get there eventually. So come and see. Come and see. John chapter 1, I'll read verses 29 through 34. Again, this is John's account of the time that Jesus began to call his very first disciples. The next day, he, being John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. Jesus is from eternity. John the Baptist had an earthly birth, so to speak. He who was coming was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. John the Baptist was Jesus' forerunner. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him, Jesus. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That would be Jesus. And I myself, John the Baptist said, have testified that this is the Son of God. So let's begin there. This is a text that John wrote to share about how Jesus went about the process of calling his very first disciples. Well, there's Jesus, but actually John the Baptist is front and center here, is he not? Of course, we know John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus. He paved the way so that people might more openly and willingly understand and receive Jesus. As he said, here is the Lamb of God, here is the Son of God. But I want to make a point here. John the Baptist had disciples himself. John the Baptist had quite a following. John the Baptist may have lived in the wilderness, may have dressed oddly, may have eaten things that most people did not eat on a regular basis, but John the Baptist was uptown when it came to those who followed after him. He was somebody. Here we have someone who had attained high acclaim among many, not all, but many. And John the Baptist spoke clearly. He said, I'm not the main person. I'm here to draw your gaze and attention to the one who is the Lamb of God, the Son of God. So let's take that as a beginning word. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus' coming. We call him John the Baptist. I call him Backseat John. John took a back seat so that Jesus could be presented front and center. And that's the way it is with every church. We're not always successful, but it is our job to be the people God has called us to be and to have a sense of fullness, self-esteem, a sense that we are somebody, but we're not the only one. We take a back seat to Jesus Christ. And whenever any of us reverse the order, that is not good. Okay, question. Authenticity is key to being church. I won't answer for you, I'll answer for me. I'll ask myself the question, and I'll answer the question. But I trust you will do the same. How many times have you, David, sought, maybe knowingly, maybe not knowingly, to take a front and center position when it wasn't yours to take? I did. And guess what? You have too. No denying it. I did, and I probably will in the future, because I am fallen. Saved by grace, but still fallen, not perfect. John the Baptist gives us a model to live by. Backseat John. Here comes Jesus. I'll step aside, and together we will elevate and promote Jesus Christ. And of course you say, David, that's elementary. It is, but it's in the text. I'm preaching the text, and the text tells us that. We need to be reminded of that. I'll read on. Verses 35 through the first part of verse 38. The next day, John the Baptist again was standing with two of his disciples. Not two of Jesus' disciples, two of John the Baptist's disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Imagine that. John the Baptist had disciples, followers of his own. Jesus comes by, says, there's the Lamb of God. And John allowed his disciples to follow Jesus Christ. It's not that he allowed them to, but that was his plan. That's what he wanted to happen. He says, I'm not the main event. Jesus is. They followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, he actually asked them a question. What are you looking for? Let's stop right there. Jesus turned and authentically asked these two disciples of John, what are you looking for? I think he said it with a kind voice. But that's the question for us as we are gathered in New York City, in Colleen Village or whatever. What are you looking for? When you come to serve Jesus Christ, when you come to worship in the name of Jesus Christ, what are you looking for? And you know, we all have different answers to that question. But we have to answer the question. What are you looking for? And sometimes the answer changes through time, does it not? What I was looking for as a 9-year-old as I was baptized at Stanley Baptist Church is not the same thing I'm looking for now as a 72-year-old. And what you're looking for today may not be the same thing you were looking for 10 years ago. Jesus doesn't give us a hard time about that. He just returns and is constantly asking the question, what are you looking for? continuing with the latter part of verse 38. They, these two disciples, followers of John the Baptist, said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Now, who answers the question with a question? Jesus said, what are you looking for? And they said, where are you staying? Yeah, that doesn't make sense, but it does. When they asked Jesus, where are you staying, they were not being trite. They were not being evasive. They were saying, Jesus, where are you? Where can we sit down and talk with you? Where can we sit down and have an encounter with you and learn to know more about you? That's what they were asking. It doesn't make sense to answer a question with a question, but they did, and I think the question made sense. What are you looking for? Jesus, we want to know where you are because we need to know more. You're someone special. We see you as a teacher, but we want to know more. And then Jesus said in verse 39, Jesus said to these two disciples of John, come and see. You want to know more about me? Come and see. Where I am, you come. Come and see who I am. Learn. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they came, and they didn't stay for just an hour or 2 hours. I would imagine it was a 5 or 6 hour conversation. They wanted to know more about Jesus. They would stay all afternoon, and Jesus would allow them to stay with him all afternoon. And so that was the beginning of the process when Jesus said, come and see. Come and see. Reading on at verses 39, there go my eyes again. Verses 40 and through 42. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. According to John, the first disciple that Jesus called was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he didn't call him when he was fishing by a seaside. He called him from being a disciple of John the Baptist. And then in verse 41, he first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is the Anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. This is John's account of Jesus calling his very first disciples. It's not like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The first disciple that Jesus seemed to be calling in this case was Andrew. There were no boats, no fish, no nets, no dropping of everything and following after Jesus. But Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, this is the one you want to follow. They come up to Jesus, and Jesus says, come and see. Jesus reveals himself to Andrew. And what does Andrew do? He goes and finds his big brother, Simon Peter. And he brings him to Jesus. Do you see a pattern developing here? Verses 43 and 44. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. That's interesting. John the Baptist tells Nathanael, follow Jesus. Nathanael follows Jesus, hears of Jesus, finds his brother Peter, and brings him to Jesus. The next day, Jesus travels into Galilee and finds Philip. we understand from this text that Philip came from the same hometown as Andrew and Peter. They probably grew up together. And maybe in those conversations they had with Jesus, of course, Jesus already knew, but maybe they said, we got someone we want you to meet. He's Philip, and he's up north. Go share with Philip, and that's exactly what Jesus did. Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael. Do you see a pattern? Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote. Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth. So, from Nathanael to Peter, from Andrew to Peter to down the line to finally Philip, we have people who encounter Jesus and they find those that they know and bring their friends, their relatives to Jesus Christ. I'll finish up the text. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, where did you get to know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree, Philip, before Philip called you. And Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. End of reading. Go and tell, come and see. Either or, both and. When people are invited to Woodland Baptist Church, and I know that people are invited to Woodland Baptist Church, when you invite someone, you're inviting someone who may not know Jesus Christ or perhaps has known Jesus in another venue, and you're saying, come and see. Come to Woodland and see Jesus Christ. When you gather for worship, for small groups, when you have a picnic, the well center, when you're mowing grass, chopping trees, providing firewood, a sports camp, whatever. Whenever you invite someone to this place, basically what you're saying is come and see Jesus Christ. Come and see. Again, this morning we have before us, I think, a perfect example of what Jesus calls us to be about. Go and tell, come and see. And maybe you don't agree with the way I interpret words in the sense of they're two different things, but they are. In my way of thinking, when you go and tell, which we are to do, you may go somewhere like New York City and tell others about Jesus. But while you go and tell, you have others in the same church body that say, come and see Jesus here among us. And when you combine those two endeavors, to me, they stand at the core of the Church of Jesus Christ. Go and tell, come and see. Jesus has instructed, go and tell. Woodland Baptist Church, New York City. Jesus also instructs, come and see. Woodland Baptist Church, Colleen Village, Virginia. I'm grateful for this church's witness and ministry, for the way that you continue to support and be the body of Christ. And what you are about this day speaks volumes to who you are and your call and mission. And I pray God's richest blessings upon you as you continue to be a body of believers who continue to move in that direction. So let me ask you a question. Did that make any sense at all? Somebody tell me, did that make any sense at all? A second thing, did I tell you something you did not already know? I will answer for most of the adults in this room. No, David, you didn't tell us something we didn't already know. You know that. Yeah, I'm not delivering, breaking news. It just so happens that in the context of today, Woodland Baptist Church is in New York City, the South Bronx, and the Woodland Baptist Church is in Colleen Village and other places, wherever you are. I think that is something to celebrate. Point is this. You won't get to New York City every day, but you'll be in Colleen Village in the environs most of every 365 days in the future, unless you go on vacation. Or if you don't go on vacation, maybe 366 days, you know. That's okay. But be who God has called you to be. Again, it's good to be here with you today, and I hope that I've been able to read, first of all, but then to express a word from Christ that might continue to benefit you and who you are as a church.